Good morning. Bill Handel here on a Monday morning, September 20th, as we are getting close to ending the month. And when does fall start?
September 22nd. I thought it was tomorrow, but apparently it's not till Wednesday.
I have no idea. Anyway, good morning to you, Amy and Alex and Tyler and Wayne running around someplace. Man, what a story this is. Gabby Petito's body, not officially, because the way the authorities work is until identification is certain, usually testing with DNA or dental records or witnesses, family witnesses. But at this point, we haven't had a full final. Yeah, it's her. Jim Ryan has been covering this case. Jim, you know, this has to be one of the most fascinating criminal cases you've seen in a while.
Well, yeah, and partly because it was so well chronicled. You know, Gabby Petito and her fiancé, Brian Laundry, have been chronicling their trip across the country. They started in New York State in a white van, wanted to tour the western United States and national parks out there, and they'd been doing that, posting video to Facebook and images to Instagram, even a police stop in Utah. And during that stop, we know that Gabby Petito had talked with officers, and this is seen on body cam video, about the disagreement she had been having. So, you know, it all kind of piles up into a really bizarre story. We know yesterday on the eastern fringe of Grand Teton National Park, a body was found. And you're right, Bill. The assumption is that it is the body of Gabby Petito. We should have some definitive identification within the next couple of days.
Incidentally, as we speak, the FBI are at the boyfriend's family home. Right now, they've all lined up in front. And when they pick him up, and certainly they will to interview him, if he just shuts up and there is no DNA connection or other connection with the murder and Laundry, where are they going to go?
Well, that's a good question. You know, will they have enough evidence elsewhere, circumstantial evidence or anything else to point in any direction? Brian Laundry has been the subject of an intense search for the last few days. Last Tuesday, he sort of vanished. He dropped off the face of the earth. He had an attorney who said that he would do the talking for his client. The family at some point decided not to speak with police either. And now we know that Laundry himself has gone missing. The police were intensifying their search yesterday, Bill, in a wildlife preserve in Florida, in Sarasota County, Florida, 24,000-acre Carlton Reserve. We know now, and ABC has gotten emails from the police there saying they don't intend to resume that search today because they feel they've, quote, exhausted all their leads. Even as big as that place is, they said the dogs simply did not pick up any scent at all of Brian Laundry.
I want to point something out. It is not illegal to disappear.
No.
You are allowed to travel this country safely from state to state, and of course that is a constitutional issue. And so what are they going to do? They're going to interview him. He shuts up. His family shuts up, all of which is perfectly legal. And the problem is the fact that he wouldn't cooperate, the fact that he's on the run, he disappeared. What does that make everybody think?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, he is considered at least a person of interest. And, you know, and besides, even if he doesn't say anything, even if any suspect refuses to speak to police, the detectives will find some other piece of evidence there at the scene where the body was found, perhaps. Maybe something in that white van that that points in a direction that leads to them to Brian Laundry or to somebody else altogether. So you're right. I mean, he doesn't have to say anything to police at all. It's up to the investigators to find other evidence that points in a direction of a suspect, no matter who it is, Bill.
I can't wait for them being able to pick him up and sitting down and going, what's going on? What's going on? And he just said, I'm not talking to you. Incidentally, pleading guilty or not talking to the police. Let me rephrase that. Not talking to the cops. And they have a hard time putting together the circumstantial evidence, or sometimes it's not circumstantial. DNA evidence is not circumstantial. Yeah. That's a direct piece of evidence. And, of course, everybody thinks he's guilty. And I'm assuming you've done enough stories on police and police activity. As soon as someone shuts up and bails, just leaves, do the police automatically say, yeah, this guy's guilty. It's a hinky case. Is that what normally happens?
No. I mean, the police aren't the ones who make that determination anyway. They can call him a suspect and say he's under arrest and being questioned about this case. It's up to a jury to decide whether he's guilty or not. So it's a long process, you know, Bill, that between somebody being considered a, quote, person of interest and then eventually perhaps a suspect and then finally convicted of a crime. It's a long way down the road. But the first step is to find this guy, Brian Laundry. Ask him a few questions. You know, the investigation is still going on at the site of Grand Teton and there at Laundry's home in Florida. So, you know, there's still a lot going on here, whether he's here or not.
Yeah, well, you put all the pieces together, man, it doesn't look good for him at all. I mean, here he is. She disappears. Gabby disappears. He gets in the van. They were traveling across the country. They're in Wyoming. Drive back to Florida in the van and doesn't say a word to anybody. And when he becomes a person of interest, he just bails out of there. And I'm assuming that this has become, a national search. How many agencies are involved, you know?
Well, the main agency there in Florida is the one working in Sarasota, and they're the ones who have said we're done looking out here. That is the Northport Police Department there. But obviously, park rangers in Wyoming are looking. The FBI is interested in this case. I think there are investigators at just about every level, Bill, who are trying to find out what happened to Gabby Petito and then trying to find her fiancé.
And do we know whether Brian Laundry is a survivalist, that he's had experience out there in the woods and catching rabbits and snakes and alligators and whatever the hell they do out there?
Well, he has experience in the Carlton Reserve as a hiker, so I think that to some degree he's familiar and he's comfortable being in a situation like that or in that kind of environment. But at least to hear the police tell it, their dogs and they couldn't find any trace of him there. So where is he?
Well, they'll find him. You know, you get a little lonely once you're out, a little lonely once you're out there in the woods
and hungry.
Yeah, and no cable TV. I mean, what do you do with that? All right, Jim, thank you. We'll no doubt talk again. When we come back, there's a whole slew of internet detectives and how the internet connects with the Gabby Petito case and how that may very well be the way of the future. KFI AM 640 live everywhere. Let's check in with Amy. KFI AM 640, Bill Handel here on a Monday morning, September 20th. As we continue on with the show, some of the stories that are trending, Netflix's The Crown and The Queen's Gambit, with Apple TV's Ted Lasso swept the series honors, Sunday's Emmy Awards. Did anybody see the Emmy Awards?
I was streaming something else.
I did last night. It was astounding in its political correctness. I mean, I was gobsmacked in terms of how this thing went. It was, that pendulum has swung, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but now they're getting backlash because no award winners except white people won.
That's not true. There was the black writer, African-American woman who wrote, I don't know what the hell.
The comedy?
I don't remember what she wrote, but very thin, wore that yellow dress, shaved head, beautiful woman. And there were so many. Well, they started with, you know what, I want to do that later on because that's just too good a story. I could go on and on and on. That's segment one or two. All right, back to the Gabby Petito story. And there's something new. There's a sidebar story of part of this is that guess who got involved in this case? Well, the internet. Well, you people on the internet. And your internet sleuths is what you are. Now, when did the police call for the public to help them? Here's the number. If you have any tips, we really want to hear it because the majority of crimes under these circumstances that are solved have to do with tips. Police couldn't possibly do it on their own. They don't have the manpower. And so normally, let's say you would get 5,000 tips or 10,000 tips. It's in the hundreds of thousands. How do the police go through half of the United States tipping or tipping about the other half of the United States saying, yep, this person did it. I saw that person and I know exactly where that person is. Incidentally, it turned out that a tip was involved in this case. And so this is a new, it's fairly new in terms of the way we're looking at it, but it's just the logical extension of the internet. On TikTok, the hashtag Gabby Petito has been viewed more than 212 million times. That's well over half the population of the United States. And there's one woman, and this, not unfortunately, I guess, just weird. Her name is Haley Tumanian, and she basically lives on TikTok and does an account and shows who she is. Here I am going to the bathroom. Here I'm dressing. I mean, it's just weird the way that works. Well, so what happens is, as this case continues on, she was devoting up to 8 hours a day unraveling the details. And she's not alone. People latch onto this. People love true crime, and they can get involved. I mean, you can watch Dateline, which is all about murders, but you're watching Dateline. This is about getting involved in the case. And that's exactly what happened with this case. And it's not going to stop. And then you know, you have to ask, why did the Petito case go viral? Why are we talking of hundreds of millions of people being involved? It's a weird confluence of events. A lot of people would argue, and I'm one of those, that the fact that she is blonde and beautiful and 23 years old, but there's more than that. There's the story of her boyfriend, how they disappeared. The family didn't hear from them for a week. He drives all the way back to Florida from Wyoming in the white van, doesn't talk to the police, doesn't say anything. They come to him. I mean, there are a lot of pieces here that make this an intriguing story. But people are questioning if this had been an African-American girl under the same circumstances, would the coverage be the same? I don't think so. I truly don't think so. And I think the only place where it's even about even is when you have little children that are kidnapped or disappear. Then I think those stories are as big as anybody else's. Coming up, a new COVID testing model for school. This is a mess, and I'll share that information with you when we come back. In the meantime, let's check in with Amy. And good morning, Bill Handel here. It is a Monday morning, September 20th, as we continue on with the show. Some of the top stories that we're covering, Gabby Petito, it looks like they found her body. Her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, on the lam. They think through the very forest, the Grand Tetons, where he allegedly killed her. Yeah, who doesn't think he's not guilty? That he's not guilty. Of course, you know, hey, hands, everybody, right? All right, let me tell you what's going on with COVID. It doesn't stop. And I don't want to talk about the number of deaths, the southern states where COVID is exploding, the Delta variant, where some of these hospitals are so overwhelmed, they literally have to fly to hospitals with maybe hundreds of miles away where those hospitals have room to take COVID patients. I mean, it is crazy out there. Nope, this one has to do with school. And from the beginning, school has been a huge controversy. where you have people who are totally in favor of vaccinations, by the way, logical people. And I draw the line. If you don't vaccinate, you're not logical. If you do vaccinate, you're I'm not going to say you're smart. You're just not stupid. And so when it comes to school, it's all over the place. Because when the pandemic started, all the schools shut down across the country. There were some private schools that were open, but for the most part, all schools shut down. And then as COVID continues on, and now kids are responsible for, I think, 30% of all new COVID cases. Then the authorities, the school boards, have to figure out, are we going to allow kids going to school full time? And what kind of precautions do we take? Do we test? For example, some school boards are saying, we'll let kids go to school, but there has to be testing every week or even every day to make sure that no one contracts the virus. And then you have schools that just shut down and they're back to internet learning, online learning. And then you have the hybrid model, which is some days you're on, some days you're off. For example, Marietta, Georgia, the school opened their doors August 3rd while the Delta variant is sweeping the South. By August 20th, and we're talking 17 days later, 51 students in that district, school district, tiny little district, tested positive for coronavirus. Nearly 1,000 others have been flagged as close contacts and had to quarantine at home for 7 to 10 days. And that's what a lot of school districts are doing, that if you you test positive, of course, you're home. You're home for 2 weeks. And if you test negative, you're allowed to stay in school. But what they're doing, and this is pretty smart, is a lot of school districts are setting up pod learning where certain students, and I'm talking about groups of 4, 5, 6, they work together with a teacher and they are segregated. I'm talking about all the pods are segregated. And if one, it's like a cell, it's like a terrorist cell where one group has no contact with the other group, at least in terms of contracting the virus. And so it's crazy. It's up in the air. Also, you have the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention saying it doesn't have enough evidence to support this approach, the testing model approach where kids get tested constantly. And they're saying we don't have enough evidence to support the approach. So it recommends that close contacts who have not been fully vaccinated quarantine for as long as 14 days. Now, as far as vaccinations are concerned, of course, we don't know. Well, we should know that children under the age of 12 right now is Pfizer that's on the verge of producing all of the information to the CDC, actually to the FDA, that makes the final decision. And once that opens up, I think you're going to see the number of COVID cases drop pretty dramatically because so many are children now. And everybody who is dying to have kids vaccinated absolutely are going to be able to do so. And there are going to be a lot of parents. If I had kids under the age of 12, I'd be sweating bullets. I really would. I would send my kid to one of those lines and say, just tell him you're over 65. Benjamin Button. Just go for it. I'm that concerned about the vaccination across the country. So which way is it going to work? Who the hell knows? A new study published last week in The Lancet. Now, The Lancet is a world-class magazine. This is not your our own clinical studies have shown, which is all a bunch of crap. The Lancet is like the Journal of the American Medical Association. It's serious stuff. And they're saying that the test-to-stay approach can be safe. And this is based on a controlled trial that included more than 150 schools in Britain, peer-reviewed. and found that the rates were not significantly higher at schools that allowed close contacts of infected students, a la the pod system, or staff members to remain in class with daily testing. Then you have the required at home, the quarantines when the test is positive. As a matter of fact, this summer, the UK announced the kids identified as close contacts. Now, remember, we have the same issue here, is do you have the virus? Have you tested positive? Yes. Will everybody who contacted that person or had any contact immediately had to go get tested or they were bounced? I mean, there's paranoia there. Where are we at? 660 or 680 thousand people have died of COVID. And we still hear about folks throughout the country that are saying, I'll never get vaccinated. The vaccine is far more dangerous than the virus itself. People are delusional. I mean, they truly are delusional. You go on the internet and you have Dr. Quack McQuack saying, oh boy, this is, you don't need it. Take this herbal supplement. That's going to do it for you. Well, it doesn't. So we'll see what the school districts do all over the country. Some are online learning, some are, and you have one agency after another trying to determine which is the safest way to go. And you have the Biden administration calling for the booster shot for everybody. The CDC saying no. The FDA saying we'll wait for the data. That's not enough. Quite often the FDA throws back data and says that's not enough. So we'll see what happens with Pfizer, the Moderna, which is still a ways away, and Johnson & Johnson. That's even further away for that booster shot. Ghosting Coasting. Sounds like the name of a band, doesn't it?
I like it.
I think that's just terrific. All right. I'll talk about that. It has to do with you folks that work. And you're holding all the cards now. This is KFI AM 640. Let's check in with Amy King. Good morning, everybody. Bill Handel here. It is a Monday morning, September 20th, as we continue on with the show. Ghosting Coasting. Now, I hadn't heard that phrase before, and I thought it was, the name of a band or a movie or a TV show, Ghosting Coasting. Not at all. It's a problem. And it's a problem for employers. And it's pretty good news for employees. Not so much the ghosting itself, which is, it's pretty disgusting stuff, leaving a boss in the lurch. But effectively what it is you get a job and then another job pops up that pays $1 or $2 an hour more. And this usually happens in certainly in the restaurant business, far more in the fast food industry. And also we pay a lot of attention to it because that's our connection. Our interface with this stuff is mainly restaurants. You know, your interface with us here is through the radio. You're not here. You don't know how many people are ghosting and coasting, but go down to your local fast food place, huge signs, help wanted. And what happens when, I've always asked this, what happens when you've got help wanted signs and no one shows up? Well, the answer is the existing employees work their asses off with additional shifts, all kinds of overtime. I mean, it's very, very rough for employers. So what ghosting coasting is you get a job, show up, and then you're still looking. And all of a sudden, the job goes down the street that comes up is $1.50 more. And instead of telling your employer, hey, listen, I want to give you 2 weeks notice. I want to give you time to find somebody. I know you have to train somebody. You just walk. Literally, you just get up and walk. And in some cases, in the middle of a shift. And there's nothing an employer can do except to scramble for new employees. And in some cases, I was watching the news the other day, one fast food establishment, forget the name, but it's a national chain, was paying $1,000 bonus if you showed up and work there, I'm assuming for a period of time. So let's say 6 months. Okay, 6 months and one day you ghost and you're gone. And a lot of employees have gone out with a bang and they're just walking and they can literally call the tune. I was talking to Bruno the other day at the Anaheim White House. And he did okay because he has very, very loyal employees who've been with him for 20, 25 years. And I asked him, how many restaurants in Anaheim around you have closed down? And he said, so many, the majority have closed down. One, because the mandate shut them down, and all the restaurateurs, of course, scramble with outdoor dining. Yesterday, I went to an IHOP. And there's no room in the parking lot to park because there's just a huge honking tent. And there's the sign, help wanted. So it's a different kind of eating. And if you didn't have the space as a restaurateur, didn't have the space to put a tent out there, business really, really hurt. And in many cases, the restaurateur went out of business. And that's what has happened. So many restaurants in Anaheim, number one, it's coming back. And number two, it's trying to get employees because a year later, you don't sit around for a year. Well, some people do because you did pretty well with unemployment and the additional federal money that came in to supplement it. So recruiters, managers have been left high and dry because people just don't show up. Just completely crazy. There's a recruiter, food service recruiter, that's trying to staff a large food service contract. And nobody wants to publish a name. So in the past 6 weeks, she scheduled 58 interviews for jobs. And that's ranging from $14 to $20 per hour. 27 candidates of the 58 actually showed up. For there, she scheduled 8 for, they were hired. Here we go. You're onboarded after they passed a background check. 5 showed up for work. Of those 5, 3 have already ghosted, leaving 2 of the original 58 that she considered. And the workers are pushing back, saying that misleading job descriptions, low pay, inadequate training have given them little reason to stick around. And those are complaints that have been going on for years. Now, there's some gravitas there. Now those complaints have a sledgehammer in their hands as far as employees are concerned. Coming up, the House returns. Democrats are facing some hard choices on that Biden mega bill infrastructure. Talk about that. This is KFI. Let's check in with Amy King.